Hello, I'm Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to the Pharmacy Focus miniseries, Star Power, Celebrity Endorsements in Pharma, a four-part series including pharmaceuticals, vaccines, Ozempic, and public health. In this episode, we talk about aesthetic trends made popular by celebrities, as well as the impact of celebrities on Ozempic for weight loss. The episode will also discuss other potential benefits for GLP-1 medications. Patricia Mars, owner and medical director of Venus by Mars, a cosmetic surgery center, started the conversation with a brief overview of aesthetic trends and the celebrity impact.
We know about celebrity influence all the way back, you know, in history. I would say once, you know, print started, magazines started, and television started, there came celebrity, you know, changes in the aesthetics. I mean, if you look back as far as, let's say we look to the 1920s, and we look at flapper girls and the aesthetic there, the thin brows, very thin, you know, and everyone followed that same aesthetic, you know. And so, you know, whoever was rich and affluent during that time, you know, affected everyone else. So everyone else followed that same, you know, kind of aesthetic. And then if you look into the 1950s, then the shape kind of changed and everyone was a little bit curvier, kind of like Raquel Welch. So that aesthetic became popular, you know, during, I would say, the 50s. And then if you look at the 60s, it was someone like Twiggy, that very thin aesthetic. She was, you know, the model of the day and the look of the day. And so let's go now forward to the Kim Kardashian look. You know, again, the aesthetic now is the BBL, the large buttocks area and the tiny waist and all of that aesthetics. I mean, you see that all influenced in music and hip hop and just culture all over the United States, particularly down in Miami. So again, you know, that's another celebrity influence, and then everyone follows. So I think it's really common, you know, the other ones that have kind of been more recent, I would say kind of the sculpted cheek look. I don't know if you've seen that look, but that buccal fat pad removal. Now we're looking at aesthetics that have been, you know, that are influencing surgery, you know, and celebrities that are influencing trends in surgery. So, you know, you can look at something like, you know, kind of the sculpted cheek lines and the Bella Hadid look, you know, where you're super sculpted in the cheek. I think who else, like Chrissy Teigen is someone who has supposedly have done that sculpted removal of the buccal fat pad. The other trend that happened maybe about two or three looks years ago, that again, aesthetic surgery was affected, was the kind of fox eye where the eye was kind of really slanted up. I think it's just, you know, whatever's trendy with the celebrities, whether it's the aesthetic look of the body, the breast, the butt, the face, then it kind of just follows into, you know, the rest of the United States and into the world, you know? So yeah, it's been going on forever.
Likewise, Donna Ryan, professor at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center, added to the history and spoke on the effects of celebrity endorsements and social media trends. She also expanded on what this could mean for pediatric populations.
Yeah, you know, I think to understand this, you have to understand that we all have certain celebrities that we admire and want to emulate. And this has been around a long, long time. I think back to my childhood and the cereal boxes that have my heroes, my sports heroes on them. But certainly it's pervaded television, print advertising for really since those things existed. But the big changer that's going on is social media and the impact of these influencers, celebrities who are just, seems they're celebrated mostly because of their ability to influence us. So that's something that's new, and it's something that's very different, I think. When you're around these young kids and observe their behaviors, you see how good they are with all the technology and their smartphones. And they have, my grandchildren have to teach me about how to use the smartphone. They are great at it, and they are all on social media. They all want to fit in. They, you know, part of growing up is learning how to be part of a social group. So they're very much influenced by what they see and what they hear on their social media platforms. And so what what these influencers can do if they are not ethically responsible is they can really promote unsafe health practices. And it would be unsafe to take these medications if you don't meet the medical indications for them. And I think kids are also exposed to, they compare themselves with what they see on these social media platforms. And so it can create unrealistic expectations about what we ought to look like, what we ought to want to look like, and how we ought to want to behave. And so, I think it can promote this culture of comparison, comparing your body to someone else, comparing, the celebrity to how she or he used to look. And it can result in body shaming and bullying, which is not a good idea. Over the weekend, I watched the documentary about Taylor Swift. And what was really good about that documentary is she seemed to have a very strong ethical responsibility to how she was being perceived by her fans. And so as a celebrity, that ethical responsibility to your fans, I think is something that we need to encourage and promote. You know, she talked about how people would shame her on social media if she was caught in a pose where her stomach pooched out. And she talked about how difficult it was to bear that and how it changed her behavior and how she started adopting unhealthy eating practices. And she had to refrain from listening to that noise, from seeing that, because it's much healthier as you grow up to have a little bit of extra energy storage when you're going to do your big concert, for example. So I think that sort of that is a very healthy sort of thing going on. There's been a lot of promotion of the body positivity movement, and we do need to be more accepting of variation in body size. Interestingly, some of the influencers who do have large body sizes, they really promote a healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, active living, being physically active. And some of these influencers were really offended when they were approached to promote these newer weight loss medications. I think what's going on there is the pharmaceutical industry is not doing that. But where that's coming from is the off-label users, like the medical spas that are using, hopefully, the real thing off-label, but they may be using some of this compounded stuff. So most of the body positivity movement influencers were offended, and rightly so, that they would be asked to promote these weight loss drugs. You know, I think that the whole area of weight management is, in a way, it's the victim of our culture, which has such an inordinate value on slimness. And we need to get away from that. We need to be thinking about health. It's about how you feel, how you function, what your risk factors are, how healthy you are. That's what it's about. It's not really so much about how you look.
In a study published in Aesthetic Surgery Journal, Mars and colleagues found that celebrity endorsements have led to an increase in Google searches for Ozempic and other semaglutide products. Dr. Mars said,
I don't really think it was surprising, because we saw, so much information on TikTok and on Instagram. And to me, we were just, this study was just confirming what we kind of already knew, that there was this massive trend about, people losing weight and what they looked like before and after Ozempic, and everyone getting thin, and then all of these celebrities getting thin. So I feel like it was kind of an expected result. It was nice to see on paper. It's nice to see that you research it and you look for it and you find, you know, that indeed, you know, there's the trend was huge, you know, that, you know, it just kind of confirmed what we already saw happening in front of our eyes, and that this is, you know, an incredible drug. I think it's an incredible drug. It's helping in so many other aspects besides, you know, control of diabetes and weight loss. It's a billion-dollar industry right now, and I think it was kind of heading that direction. And this research that was done just kind of confirmed what we already knew was happening. And, you know, I think the thing that I saw, the most identifiable name is Ozempic. So, you know, of course, Ozempic is the one that's used for control of diabetes, control of blood sugar. And the side effect of using that, you know, was found to be weight loss. They say it's different, that it's a different prescription and that it's a different compound, but it's semaglutide, okay? It's I don't know how they're saying that it's different. Maybe it started in different dosage, but it is the same medication. And they put it under a different name specifically for weight loss so that the FDA has two approvals, one for diabetes and one for weight loss. Now, when you look at the trend, it's all under Ozempic. So people don't really recognize Wegovy. Is that surprising? Not really. I mean, all of the names after what people look like after they've had weight loss, like Ozempic face and Ozempic butt and Ozempic, you know, this and that. You don't see Mounjaro face. You don't see Wegovy face. You just see Ozempic. So that one, people have kind of attached to that name. And now every moniker, you know, that has to do with weight loss has Ozempic before it.
Dr. Ryan discussed the response for Wegovy, a GLP-1 indicated for medicated-assisted weight loss, as well as the impact of social media and why it is important to discuss the medical benefits for GLP-1 medications.
You know, I think the big phenomenon that we all observe with these weight loss drugs was with the introduction of Wegovy. It was approved and put on the market in the summer of 2021, and immediately it sold out. The company in no way anticipated the response to this medication. It's true. It's the first one that produces double-digit weight loss on the average of about 15 to 17% of people who don't have diabetes. So robust weight loss. But the thing that made it really, this is a prescription medicine, the thing that made it so popular, made it sell out, was not the doctors being detailed and understanding how this could help their patients' health. It was the social media platforms where celebrities were posting their weight loss results with this. And more often than not, those celebrities did not meet the criteria, the indication criteria that our FDA provides for treatment with these drugs. They were using them strictly for cosmetic purposes. And there was a year shortage before patients who really needed it could get it. What happened was people moved over. Instead of Wegovy, they took the same molecule which was approved for diabetes, and that's Ozempic. And so they were taking Ozempic really off-label, not just not for diabetes, but not really because you met the weight loss indications for Wegovy, the same molecule. So it was, I think it's that just shows the power of the influence of these social media personnel. It's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, it's something that's very powerful. It can influence people. It can influence people for good, but it can also influence people for bad. You know, when social media celebrities admit to taking these medications, they're not talking about the health benefits, and the health benefits are very powerful. These drugs can be life-saving for people who need them. So, you know, for people who have diabetes, they lower the hemoglobin A1C by 1 or 2 percentage points. Excellent. For people who have, prior cardiovascular disease, it was just shown in the SELECT trial that semaglutide reduced the risk of stroke and heart attack by 20%. Yeah, so very, very powerful health benefits. These drugs are also being shown to be potentially effective in preventing the need for dialysis and preventing kidney failure and having effects on atrial fibrillation. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, lots of, and they're under study for Alzheimer's disease and dementia. So lots of very, very interesting effects of these medications beyond weight loss. These are true medications that have powerful, wonderful health benefits. So when our social media stars start promoting these just for cosmetic weight loss, wait a minute. These are real medications and they have side effects. They have serious side effects, and you should not be taking them under certain conditions. So it's a bit scary.
Semaglutide and tirzepatide have been studied for alcohol consumption as well as mental health disorders. According to a study published in Brain Sciences, after the initiation of GLP-1s, the weight loss was associated with changes in mood, anxiety, insomnia, and addictive behaviors. The changes were both positive and negative. Another study published in Scientific Reports provided real-world evidence that showed a reduction in alcohol consumption for those taking semaglutide or tirzepatide. Dr. Martz agreed with Dr. Ryan, saying,
"You know, now they're doing all sorts of studies, and usually these studies have been well thought out. There have been several, of course, that have looked at more than just Wegovy, Ozempic, but have also looked at other of the GLP-1 medications. There's several of them that are injectable, just like Wegovy and Ozempic, and some of them are now even oral. So a bunch of studies have now been done on almost, you know, I'm not going to say all of them, but many of the GLP-1 inhibitors. So they're a whole class of medications, and then they're made by different manufacturers. Most of them are injectable. Some of them are now oral. What's happening now in kind of the pharmaceutical industry is they're making ones that are maybe longer lasting, so that you don't have to inject every week. So they're being manipulated in ways that are, you know, like they'll have less side effects, easier to take, longer lasting, and maybe not injectable. What they're studying now is that because there is this connection between the GLP-1s and not just the gut, but central nervous system, is that there's many other things that can be affected. So what they're studying now is Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, drug addiction, bulimia, anorexia, gambling, any type of behavior that's obsessive, compulsive, all of these kind of behaviors, you know, even gambling, that are excessive. And guess what? Eating is one of those behaviors that's excessive. So all of these type of behaviors can be affected by a GLP-1. In fact, I know some surgeons that are using a GLP-1 on patients that are on narcotics, you know, they're on prescription narcotics in order to control their pain, and that's being controlled by a pain medicine doctor. They're using these to get those patients off of their kind of methadone in order for them to have surgery. So there's a lot of things that it's affecting. So that's why I think, you know, the good outweighs, you know, kind of the risks of GLP-1s. You know, even though you have to be on these long term, and maybe some people have to be on it permanently, well, guess what? We're on things permanently for our thyroid. We're on things permanently for our diabetes. We're on things permanently for blood pressure control. Look at all these things and all these the research that they're doing in order to determine, you know, the benefits of GLP-1. So again, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, I'm not sure about the central nervous system effect and why GLP-1 may improve these. I'm not sure about that connection. But the other ones that I mentioned, the behavioral issues like gambling, bulimia and anorexia, drug addiction, all of those, smoking cessation, all of those things, I can see why they're being affected by a GLP-1, because those are affected by the central nervous system, and there's an area of the brain that controls satiety, or, you know, our desire to be fulfilled and have satisfaction. And that's what the GLP-1 is affecting. It goes to that center, and there are receptors where the GLP-1 sits, and it says to the brain, I feel good, I'm satisfied, I don't need to do this behavior, whatever it is.
Due to the public's interest in these drugs, there was a shortage of these medications. According to Dr. Christina Madison, the public health pharmacist, the companies producing these drugs did not anticipate the high demand.
The first is that it does make me a little bit concerned because we do see that this particular product, the manufacturer did not anticipate the demand. And so they've had a really hard time keeping up with the amount of demand for the product, not necessarily for the weight loss aspect, but for people who actually need it for type 2 diabetes. And these are people who have been maintained on this product that have had amazing results. We know there's heart benefits on top of, the actual loss of weight that people get, as well as glucose lowering and normalizing that they get from the GLP-1. And so that's my concern, is that the people who really do need this, and it's not for a significant weight loss, it's really more for, you know, something that could be done with diet and exercise. On average, most patients lose anywhere from 30 to 40 pounds. And if you're somebody who just wants to lose 15 pounds and now you're taking it away from somebody who legitimately needs it, that's where my concern comes into play. And yes, they're not necessarily being paid to talk about Ozempic, but they are perpetuating that people who have money, right, because these products are expensive, are taking it away from somebody who really does need it for their health and wellness. And so I think that's where the concern comes in, and where we see an inequitable space, especially with access to historically marginalized communities, ethnic communities. That's where my concern is that this is really causing a divide between the haves and the have-nots, and people who legitimately need it and can't get it, and then people who legitimately need it and then can't afford it are basically being sidebarred by people who can just say, oh, I'm gonna just buy it and use it for myself because they have the means.
Dr. Ryan echoed agreement discussing compounded semaglutide products and why this could be problematic.
When legitimate sources for Wegovy and Ozempic dried up, well, guess what? These compounding pharmacies stepped in to a vacuum and started importing non-API semaglutide, tirzepatide, even drugs that are not approved yet, retatrutide. That these compounding pharmacies are promoting the use of these drugs. This is not API. They're not in a formulation that has been studied and proven safe for humans. And some of them don't even have the drug in it. I don't know what they're doing. In most cases, these products are coming from China. They do not have the quality control on them. They have not been shown to be safe in humans. And so when your plastic surgeon says, oh, these drugs are available, yeah, if you Google these drugs, the first thing you're gonna find is you're gonna find these compounding pharmacies promoting these drugs. These are not the real drugs. The real drugs that are approved by the FDA in an API formulation were very, very difficult to get beginning in the summer of 2021 and really all through until the end of 2023. Then it became easier. Look, these are peptides. It is difficult to make a peptide. Novo Nordisk, who had the first drug out in the field, semaglutide, which is marketed as Ozempic for diabetes, and it's marketed as Wegovy for weight management. They produced all of their product in Denmark, in one factory in Denmark. They have since begun construction on a second factory in Denmark, a third factory in France. But to produce these products, these peptides, is not simple. after the product is produced, it's shipped over here in barrels in dried form, and then is formulated into the pens that are dispensed. Lilly with tirzepatide has done a bit better in meeting the demand. They actually went out and contracted with factories that had been making COVID vaccines. You know, if you can make a protein for a vaccine, you can make a protein like tirzepatide or semaglutide. So they've had less problems with drug availability, but there are still to this day problems getting some doses of Wegovy. Yes, indeed. I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with improving the way you look. I don't want to disparage cosmetic procedures or cosmetic treatments. They make us feel better. They make us feel better about ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. But the treatment has to be balanced against the risk. The benefit has to be balanced against the risk. So when your benefit is strictly cosmetic, you have to have a very, very safe product, right? If your benefit is improving diabetes, a chronic disease, or obesity associated with sleep apnea, with diabetes, with dysglycemia, with all the complications, if that is your risk, if your benefit is against that, you can accept more risk. So pharmacists know this. They understand that risk-benefit equation. I don't think that our social media influencers who are not professionals, not healthcare professionals, I don't think they understand that risk-benefit equation. Look, the GLP-1 receptor agonists as a class are associated, fortunately rarely, but with acute pancreatitis. That's a serious disease. They're also associated with, we don't give them in people who have a history or family history of medullary thyroid cancer or who have multiple endocrine neoplasia type 2, because in rodents, they produce those thyroid cancers. We haven't shown this in humans, but we're surely not going to test it out in people who've already gotten medullary thyroid cancer or who are at high risk for it. So that's contraindicated there. You know, these medications are wonderful. I truly believe this is the most significant discovery in my lifetime. The ability to reverse the health consequences of obesity, severe obesity. But we need to be careful about this treasure that we've uncovered and not use it foolishly.
However, Dr. Morris added that she believes celebrity endorsements did not affect the supply chain. She added that she believes it's the fault of the manufacturers.
I think in a couple ways. Number one, we know the flow of drugs is, you know, through the pharmaceuticals that make them. So if they are, you know, if their supplies are running a little, you know, low, you know, like they did during the pandemic, maybe there would be a negative influence if, you know, celebrities are saying, run, go get your, you know, Ozempic or your Wegovy. And then, you know, everyone's using up those supplies. But I really feel like that supply chain negativity and problem really is on, you know, the fault of that is really on the manufacturers and the makers of the drug. I can't actually believe that, you know, the masses would be able to buy up all of those prescription drugs to the point where it would be lacking for a diabetic who's using it. So why does that really happen? You really need to follow the money. And, you know, if there's all of this, you know, news and all of this, you know, information about Ozempic and Wegovy, those manufacturers are going to make more money, regardless of whether it's prescription oriented or whether people are getting, you know, pharmaceutical, you know, products that aren't made by the original manufacturer. So yes, there can be negative impact, but I'm also wondering, you know, if it's also a way for those manufacturers to get their drugs more noticed by the masses, you know. And, you know, I'm not sure it's that all that negative impact that, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, look, these celebrities are all getting thin, and now the people that actually need it don't have it. No, I just can't believe that that supply chain is due to, you know, all of these masses of people taking over the prescriptions. That's really just not possible. What they are now using are the ones that are, you know, not from the original prescription. You know, you're using ones that are pharmaceutical grade, that are being manufactured by pharmacies, and not by the actual, like, Novo Disc, who, you know, is the one that manufactures Wegovy and Ozempic. So that's my thought about that. Yes, there can be some negative connotations from, you know, the overuse. I think it's really the overuse, and for celebrities getting too thin and not looking very healthy, I think that's the negative connotation. I don't think the negative connotation is that people won't have access, but that's kind of been what the press has been about, people who, celebrities who have been thought to be on, you know, Ozempic, and they're like, oh no, I would never use that. That's for the diabetics, and I wouldn't want to take it away from them. No, that supply chain is not due to overuse from regular people that don't have a prescription for Ozempic and Wegovy. That's my thought on this.
Oprah Winfrey is a good example of a celebrity who took a GLP-1 medication and discussed her issues with weight loss. Dr. Mars said that responsibility is key when taking these medications.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, if you have a celebrity that admits to taking it, like Oprah Winfrey did, has admitted to taking it, she's freely admitted it. If you have, I think, someone with that scope of power, you know, and a large following, I do think that there could be benefits from them saying, hey, everything should be done in a way that is safe, because there are risks with these medications. It's not risk-free. As we know, there's several risk factors that need to be looked at, and several issues that can happen while you're taking it. So you need to be well informed, and having a celebrity say, hey, you need to be followed by a physician, or let your physician know, or make sure that whoever's providing you with this medication is following your labs, or has asked the appropriate questions. Because I use Wegovy or Ozempic in my practice. You know, we use it under the name of semaglutide or semaglutide. It's used, said both ways. But I follow my patients carefully. We have a history and physical that we do. We use screening tests to make sure that they don't have a history of neoplasia, particularly in the thyroid. And then I do a slew of tests in order to see where they're at right now, making sure their pancreas, their kidney, and their liver are in good health before I put patients on it. So you want someone doing that. You want, you know, patients can go to med spas right now and pick up, you know, the pharmaceutical grade compounded version without any examination, without any questions, without, you know, knowing anything about their family history or their health or what their laboratory evaluations are with respect to their, you know, their kidney function and their liver function, their pancreatic function, which can be affected by these medications, by GLP-1s. So yes, I do think it would be awesome if there were celebrities saying, hey, this is a great medication, but you really do need to be, it needs to be done under the proper supervision. I think that would be very beneficial. And would there be even, you know, a greater response with more people interest? Probably, you know, if it would be possible for there to be, you know, even more interest. I mean, you know, this is a, you know, multi-billion dollar industry now, just where we're at right now. Without, you know, all of these future GLP-1s that are kind of in the making with various drug manufacturers. So I think they're kind of here to stay. And I think the reason why so many people are seeking them and getting them, not from the manufacturer, because it's super expensive, you know, Mounjaro is even more expensive than Wegovy, and I think Wegovy is more expensive than Ozempic, which doesn't quite make sense. But out of pocket to get a prescription from your physician for the actual real prescription product is super expensive. So I feel like that's why all these people are on the, you know, pharmaceutical grade product that's being manufactured by compounding pharmacies. It's just that it's so expensive and people don't have the out-of-pocket expense to pay for the actual prescription. So if you had a celebrity, talking about all of the positive things from this medication and, getting the proper follow-up, even if it's in the face of not actually getting it from the original prescription from the manufacturer, then I think it would be beneficial. And yeah, I do think it would explode the industry even more, if that's possible.
Dr. Madison added that awareness about obesity and medicated-assisted weight loss is okay, and it does help with health. And she said that viewing these drugs as vanity products is a huge issue that needs to be addressed.
First and foremost, I think there's a lot of fat shaming. There's a lot of fat shaming out there. There's a lot of, this misperception that people who are overweight are choosing to be overweight, and that they are overeating, that they have poor diets, that they don't exercise, which is not always the case. And that oftentimes it's genetic, and that it's because they lack access to healthy food options because they live in an area that has food apartheid. So I tend to not use the term food desert, because the term desert to me makes it sound like it's natural. It is unnatural that we do not have areas of this country in the United States that people have the ability to get fresh fruits and vegetables. So I really do think that it is food apartheid. And so, when we think about, ways that we can help people, and how we can, how we can show them ways that you can have healthy choices, that you can maintain a healthy weight, and if you need medication assistance, it's okay. Part of this is the acceptance of being able to use a medication in order to lose weight. And so I think that's the upside of this, is that now we're seeing more acceptance of people using medications to lose weight and talking about the overall long-term health benefits of maintaining a healthy weight. My only concern is that we see insurance companies looking at this as a vanity product and not a long-term chronic medical condition, which is what obesity and being overweight is. I think that awareness is the key, right? And so wherever we get that awareness, I'm an eternal optimist. So yes, there may be a few downsides, but I think we are starting the conversation, and that's the important part, is that we're having the discussion about obesity and people being overweight as a chronic medical condition. And that is different than the conversation that we had when you were saying the, sort of the weight loss craze in the 80s, when you were seeing like Phentermine and like epinephrine and all these things being used, which was terrible for heart health, which is very different than the GLP-1s. And I think the awareness and having the conversation and having the dialogue, especially when we're seeing celebrities talk about it, because it's like, oh, they're just like us. They have problems with, with their weight too. And it does humanize it, and it does make it seem like it is more relatable than just, only being for the elite, or, someone with a private chef and a personal trainer. Even those people need help too, right? And so I think that's part of the, the upside of seeing these people openly talk about the fact that they are using assistance for weight loss. I know that Oprah came out and said, she's not quite at her goal weight, and she did say that she did use the GLP-1 to help her, but she was really honest, and she's like, I have a personal chef, I have a personal trainer, and I just couldn't lose the weight. And she was like, this is the only thing that's really helped me to be able to get and to be able to maintain a healthy weight without making me starve myself to death. And so I think that's important. It's important for that dialogue and for that conversation to be out in the public, because now there are people that are probably like, oh, if I hadn't heard it from her, I didn't even, you know, think that this could be something that could be accessible to me, or that she's talking about it publicly, so maybe I should start talking with my healthcare professional to see if this is something that would be right for me and for my personal healthcare needs.
Dr. Ryan offered agreement, saying that celebrities have a lot of power when promoting these medications and other weight loss techniques.
So I recently saw something about Rosie O'Donnell, who does have diabetes and is taking these. Another example is Oprah. Yes, Oprah's taking them, and she met the indications, and good for her. You know, so I think the celebrities have so much power that we have to find a way to use them appropriately. You know, a good example of how celebrities can help people is Dan Marino. He was a spokesperson for Nutrisystem. He got a lot of men taking Nutrisystem, which is a pretty healthy approach to losing weight through changing your diet. Other celebrities have endorsed Weight Watchers. They've endorsed Jenny Craig. These are all evidence-based approaches to losing weight safely and effectively. So I think we could do the same thing with these medications. I don't see pharma embracing this, however. I don't. First of all, there's already a lot of interest in this. And I think the two companies that have drugs in the marketplace, Lilly and Novo Nordisk, I don't see them embracing celebrity endorsements for this this use. I think it's their intention is more to make certain that their drugs are used appropriately and safely. They don't need the celebrity endorsement. Patients who have complications of their obesity are seeking help, and that's a good thing.
In conclusion, Dr. Ryan added that pharmacists have a unique role in helping to educate patients on weight loss and medicated-assisted weight loss.
You know, I think our pharmacists are really dedicated professionals, and they've got a good head on their shoulder about nonsense. You know, they understand the power of these medications, and they want them to be used appropriately. They have as part of their mission, patient education. So they want to make sure patients are using the drugs appropriately, the right patient is getting the drug. They want to make sure that the patient is using the drug safely. So they don't want to see any mix-ups there. So I think that, the pharmacists are not so much around the hype of these medications, because they have a difficult time getting the drugs in stock. They can sell as much of it as they've got. So what they really want to see is a safe use of these drugs, appropriate use, because they do have such power to help people. And I think that's what pharmacists are interested in. They want to see the regulatory compliance. You know, I think to understand these medications, you need to understand that they've been a long time coming. They are truly based on our understanding of the biology of food intake regulation and the metabolism of nutrients. So understanding that has really led us to target the GLP-1 receptor. When we eat, when food enters the small intestine, GLP-1, a hormone, is released, along with a whole symphony of other hormones, GIP, oxyntomodulin, PYY. And these hormones go through our bodies, go to our brains, and tell the brain that food is on the way, you can start feeling full. That feeling of fullness comes from the brain, not the stomach. And they also have influence on the pancreas. They make the pancreas secrete insulin if the blood sugar is high enough. They have other effects throughout the body that are positive. And so exploiting that understanding has led us to identify these drugs. These are not just appetite suppressants. These medications are powerful drugs that have pleiotropic effects, many, many of them very positive. We have the opportunity to change the way we're managing our chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular diseases, sleep apnea. These conditions are filling our offices, and we have the ability to change that disease paradigm. We can modify those diseases with these drugs. This is not about fitting into Marilyn Monroe's dress. It's upsetting to me to see all of this emphasis on cosmetic benefit when we have on our hands here something that can really transform how we manage the chronic diseases. And that's our public health challenge.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus miniseries, Star Power, Celebrity Endorsements in Pharma. Tune in next week as we discuss celebrity endorsements in public health. You can listen to episodes 1 and 2 wherever you get your podcasts now. Thank you for listening.